Vulture, Vulture, God Daniel, OG and DL The Beat, Le Mecha, Brandon McDavney and Shafu Hanna, each a special, a sister Sarah's Letter Kenny. Welcome everyone to the DL The Beat and Letter Kenny. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks so much for joining us in this great setting of Sister Sarah's Bar Restaurant. Of course, Kieran Brogan is the sponsor of the show. I gave him a shout out a few years ago with an idea. I brought it to Oshie and he says, go and get a sponsor. He was the first man I talked to. He backed the show and the show's gone from strength to strength since. So thanks very much to Kieran and everybody at the Sister Sarah's here. We have another packed show in store for you this evening as we build up this massive double Ulster final. We have all the way from Derry here, a good friend of Highland Radio, one of the DL Debate, with Michael McMullen and former County Star Unions manager, Brendan Kilcoyne. We're also going to hear from Aaron Kiernan. We're going to hear from Emma McGee, one of our stars of 2012. We're going to hear from Marion O'Donnell on the ladies' final as well. And the one and only John Gilday, just back from Japan, has joined us. Give it up for them. The Devennies are stuffing their face there. They haven't got hardly time to talk. Mark Gallagher is producing here. Thank you, Mark, very much. Folks, we're going to get straight in to the show here. Mal, you've got a serious feat here. The hospitality's been good in Donegal as ever.
I don't know what's better, the chicken fajitas or your notes, Brendan. I'm getting scared of the amount of notes you have here. So
that's I actually do, but I'm a professional. Would you believe that? What do you think, Brendan?
Yeah, you're a total, very professional. All heard of me.
They've just stolen my programmes. I keep my programmes in case I forget a name, which is easy. But listen, Mal, thanks for coming down. That was just from the weekend there. Brendan, just quickly, what a game in Castlebar. You've played in the Connacht final, 27,000 plus there. It was a brilliant match, end-to-end football, a bit of drama, a bit of everything.
Yeah, it certainly had, Brendan. Brilliant game. Really enjoyed it. Again, the same result, the same result as usual for the Mayos, but there was some great contests in it, some great scores, and you know, a lot of talking points after it. So there was, Brendan, and... But Galway march on, and deservedly so. I felt they were marginally the better team on the day.
Yeah, four in a row. Michael, Galway, are they the genuine real deal? You know, are we seeing from all the football teams that they're pretty human this year? They've got strengths, they've got weaknesses, but certainly without Walsh and Comer, there seems to be resilience in this Galway team. They're certainly building something. Of course, Maher went off at half time. Conroy will be 36 next month. Man of the match, unbelievable performance from him. You know, it looked like 15 minutes into the second half that when Mayo drew level, it was Mayo's game to win. So it was a remarkable performance that Galway were able to dig it out from there.
Definitely, it is. Like, the All-Ireland series is obviously wide open, Brendan, but like yesterday, Galway were probably in danger of losing the game. It was quite surprising that Mayo went against the breeze in the first half. It obviously nearly worked for them, but it's back, as Brendan says to me a while ago, like, Mayo lost it. Like, the few key moments, the kick out obviously changed everything, but it came down to, I suppose, those key moments of Dylan McHugh's block. Conor Gleeson won the championship last year with a last minute free and won it yesterday with a save, and just whenever they needed a ball in the middle of the field, whenever kick outs are so difficult with this 40 meter arc, Tierney caught a kick out. So all those wee moments turned it, but I would have to say it was a brilliant game to watch, absolutely class, and probably another example of why the rule change for the mark on the kick-out needs to be through in the bin. It's just not fit for purpose. Likewise, the best rule in the game so far is one we can't pass it back to the goalkeeper. You just can't. So at times yesterday, Galway were penned in, and the fact they came out through it, they've now got a wee bit of substance to go with. That's obviously the plenty of flair that they have. So they're going to be serious contenders whenever the big prize is handed out, definitely.
Brent, just on the kick out there, you know, they look at the when Galway took the game to Mayo, they battered them on the kick out. Is that something now that's a huge strategy coming into this game now? We're expecting conditions to be good on Saturday, but if there's any win there, and as Mal was saying, you know, taking the toss, it's a huge thing. I think you should play against it, because I think if you set up and you tackle hard, the game will open up more. There should be more space, and if you get the run on the team, panic tends to set in. So I would tend to play against the breeze if you had it. Or what was your feeling?
That would have been always my tendency too, Brendan, would have been, you know, to play against the breeze early on and settle into the game and see what happens in the second half. But I suppose the new rules have completely changed the dynamic in a lot of things. And, you know, even if you get your kick out away short, we saw on numerous occasions yesterday, the high press is going to, you know, really put teams under huge pressure because you don't have that option to go back to the keeper. And we look at the two exponents of the kickouts next Saturday. You look at Sean Patton, probably the best kicker in the country at the moment.
Definitely the best kicker in the country.
And then you look at Ethan Rafferty, who's a completely different ball player completely. Like, you know, played all his football outfield all his life, and now he's back in goals and he's doing absolutely brilliant stuff for Armagh. So the dynamics of what's going to happen with the kickouts on Saturday is going to be a huge talking point between now and then. It's going to have a huge bearing on the outcome of the game.
Yeah. Well, just on that effort, the two-pointed effort from Ryan O'Donoghue where the hand got the ball, what do you think is there a need for this in the game in terms of, that would have put Mayo a point up, like, that could have changed the course of the final?
Look, Geezer came out with a statement a few weeks ago where he talked about the hooter. He says, at least it's definitive. You know, right, the hooter's gone, we've one more play. That's such a grey area. The ball looked as if it went over the crossbar. Do we really need to be bringing something controversial into the game that's not there? It's just, to be fair, Conor Gleeson was a massive player in the game, but I don't know what your take on it is, but, you know, from asking that question, but it's unnecessary.
Yeah, what was your feeling being that, Brendan? Is there some things we still need to tweak done?
There are a few tweaks definitely needed on the rules, like the hooter. We were speaking about it here to a few people, and is something that needs to be defined or clarified. I don't know. I think while there's huge clarity about it, the hooter goals, you think that should be the end of the game, but the play can continue on then, and there's a few instances where it has caused controversy. But the two-pointer that Gleeson touched over the bar, like, that's going to cause a lot of, because all a keeper has to do, if you're kicking a point from outside the two-point arc and the keeper gets any touch to it at all, it takes it down to a point. So I don't know if the full back gets a touch to it, if the full forward gets, I think it's going to lead to some sort of issues down the line too. If it's punched over the bar from inside, it's more clear because it's definitely a one-pointer then. So there are things like that, and I'm still not sold on the whole two-pointer, the whole concept of the two-pointer. So I'm not. I think, you know, it's going to lead to a lot of controversy both at inter-county level, and we've seen a bit of it already, and at club level definitively, because to judge whether a guy is inside or outside the line, you're going to see issues like that. So you are, and I just, and the other thing with it is, I've been watching a lot of football, and some of the best points I'm seeing scored are coming from inside, from the likes of the Canavans, these McCurry, these kind of players. They're selling jinx, they're in and out kind of thing, and how that is only worth half the value of a two-pointer. I stood at the arch out in O'Donnell Park there a couple of weeks ago, and I still think I'd be able to knock over a two-pointer. So I don't think it merits being one point shy of a goal and been better than some of the great scores we're seeing by inside forwards from inside the arc.
Yes. What do you think of that, Mal? This man's still able to kick the two-pointers handy enough, he reckons.
There's a sense of competition going on next Monday at O'Donnell Park.
There's a challenge coming down there, I think.
But the only thing I would say on that was that it sort of, whenever they tried to stop Galway's two-pointers, like, for example, Matthew Thompson came in one time and he was able to try and get something from inside. It does open up a wee bit of space. But I think I was fairly open to the rules. I didn't want to be the big bad wolf shouting everything down at the start. And I just took them bit by bit. But I think I've got the rules down to three for me. Don't pass it back to keeper in your own half.
Solo and goal.
The solo and goal is obviously definitely there to stay. And the other one is three versus three. But there's a massive but there. Yeah. What do we do at club level when it's so difficult to police? But I think if you get those things sorted, by and large, it has to improve it. Mm. Because if you ask any team now, would you want to go back where the keeper is allowed to take a back pass? You won't push up. It brings excitement. I think if you got it to those three, I think it's reasonably simple. But how do you work the 3v3 at club level? That's the big, big if that... It's maybe difficult, but I think we've shaved it back to that.
Yeah, we'll get those to final minute, because I think it'll probably be the most tactical attempt at playing the new rules that we've seen so far I expect both teams to really try and suffocate the game, but we'll get that in a minute. Just on the rules, boys, very interesting. Donegal lost under 20 Ulster final there for me on a decision where Finn Barroty had been tackled, wasn't sure if he was fouled or not. He looked for a split second at the ref. Brendan, the ref brought it forward 50 metres, giving Tyrone the equalising point. Now, Tyrone with the better team and at the time deserved to win it. But from that position, you know, this type of thing is crazy, Brendan, around enforcing the rules so rigidly. I mean, the black card that Clare received yesterday against Kerry, I mean, sure, you could say, yeah, he did top knock him over. But, I mean, to put somebody off for 10 minutes in a Munster final, do you think there needs to be a small bit of common sense in terms of how rigid some of those rules have been played by certain refs, but not all?
Yeah, but that's putting it back on the ref again, Brendan, so it is, you know, and that's leaving a lot of the onus of them big decisions on the ref. And, you know, you go back to the Finn Barroty one. Finn Barroty basically had the ball. I thought he probably could have had a foul himself, but their players were actually hugging him that he couldn't release the ball. And it was a huge decision and a huge turning point, because Finn Barroty was, you know, Donegal's star player. And to get a turnover like that and to get a score that Tyrone did get from that. Now, as you say, Tyrone were, to me, slightly better team in the night and deserved it, particularly in extra time. They kicked three two-pointers straight after the start of extra time and went 7 points up very early. Donegal showed great heart to come back, but there is a problem with that rule. What was the other one you asked me about, Brendan, then?
That rule about the ref moving the ball forward is a big stick. The other one was the black card.
The black card one too, yeah. And it had a huge impact yesterday in the Connacht final too, so it had, you know. And again,
that was a deserved black card.
Yes. Well, listen, it based on the new rules, if you go down to 14 and, you know, it's going to be a huge thing next Saturday too, so it is in the Ulster final, because both these managements are so well structured and so well set up. You lose a player from your defensive setup, and it really does make a huge difference. So you're creating that extra 10-12% of space for the opposing team to attack, and they will find the holes there. So they will. So discipline come Saturday, and making sure that you're not put into a situation where you are losing a man to a black card for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Of course, the Celtic finals are on this weekend. Any Termon fans here? Come on, Mo. Don't be shy now. Mo, not be shy. Termon, we have a Termon man producing here. I think Termon won the Guilty Gear. Dunlow, I think, won the ladies there. Tony Boyle was sending me pictures. He's happy out. Of course, in under 16 ladies are in the gold final in Newton Stewart this Saturday. And the minor ladies are heading for a semi final against Armagh. And our minor footballers as well, they are heading for an Ulster final too. I'm just trying to read my notes.
Ulster
semi it is. Aye. If they won the match against Armagh, they're down for a home semi. They did beat Armagh 3-11-1-9 in the final league games. So we wish Barry Ward and his team all the best in that. Brent, things going well for Donegal there underage. We're seeing bits and pieces of a brilliant 20s team that could have went anywhere this season, and, you know, underage seems
to be undoubtedly, Brendan, there's a lot of really, really good players coming up through the ranks, so they are. And whilst Donegal aren't getting the success that they may deserve at underage level, they're competing really hard, and they've done so at minor level and under 20 level for the last 4 or 5 years. Unfortunately for them, they're coming up against brilliant Derry and Tyrone sides at that same level, who, once they go on and win Ulster, are invariably going on to win All-Ireland titles after that too. And, you know, but I think the positive for Donegal is there's a lot of really good talent coming through that we're going to see in Donegal jerseys for 10, 15 years to come. And, you know, you look at Finbar coming through this year, you look at the likes of Conor McCahill, Senan Carr, these type of players that are playing with the 20s. The minors are progressing nicely into a semi-final. So competing very well, not getting the ultimate prize that maybe they feel they will deserve, or that the work has gone in, but sometimes you just got to take that and keep plugging, and your day will come on it, kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, of course, Brendan's coached a lot of them underage players. We're about to get into the Donegal Armagh situation here, and we're just going to hear from Aaron Kiernan. I just asked him for a couple of points on why Armagh are better this season than they were last season. Mark's going to play it there.
I suppose the biggest and most obvious one is just the genuine confidence, Dev, that they will have taken from winning the All-Ireland last year. Goes without saying, they made it to an awful lot of big games. They made it to an awful lot of tight games. But unfortunately, they always seem to come out the wrong side of those results. But that fortune fairly changed in the All-Ireland semi-final, in my opinion, against Kerry. I think they carried that confidence into a final. And they look like they play it as the more assured team, took their chances, and Galway, who probably were favourites and had previously been in All-Ireland final, looked the more nervy. So that's the biggest thing. That is absolutely massive and is unquantifiable, the difference that it gives the team going out. Personnel is a huge, huge difference, which is actually surprising. I suppose from the Ulster final game last year, from then on, Armagh's nominated footballer of the year was Barry McCambridge, and he didn't even feature. Really, he had very few minutes in an Ulster campaign, and it was only after that there, through a bit of misfortune for others and good fortune for him, he got in. And look at the difference that he made to them defensively. But he's not on his own. I think particularly this year, added into defence along with that there, you have the footballing ability and freshness of Tomás McCormick, and similarly the same with Ross McQuillan, who has just absolute blinding pace. And then you throw in on top of that there, Niall Grimley. He hasn't, obviously he's been injured, but I think he'll certainly see game time next week. He didn't feature at all last year within the Ulster campaign. So there certainly is key personnel that Armagh now have at their disposal that, well, they had then, and they just weren't using them. And then obviously the likes of Charlie O'Burns, who only came on as a sub again, has looks like in recent weeks like he really has found his form. So the form and the personnel that they have, regardless of who's missing from the All-Ireland winning team, it leads me to believe that they're in a very good place. And then I think there's always a genuine hunger to win this Ulster title. It's a wait since we've last won one, and while even these boys won that All-Ireland, still there's something very special about winning your provincial crown and basically backing up to say that All-Ireland wasn't a fluke. So I think hunger is absolutely huge and will be key for them as well this weekend.
There you are, folks. Aaron Kiernan there. Always good to hear from Aaron, a good mate of mine. Hunger, a bit. I know you're not hungry anymore, Mal. You've two steaks in you, whatever, but you know, you look at that point of view he's making. I mean, McCambridge, how was McCambridge not in Armagh? I can't get my head around this. We don't have anybody floating about the background as potentially going to become a footballer of the year. I don't understand how he wasn't playing, but, you know, those points Aaron was making there, you know, the likes of the pace of McQuillan, McCormick in there, Grimley didn't play last year, the former Jarlio, big, big plus points for Armagh.
Serious, like, probably... Probably Ross McQuillan has been the main man this year, because he was obviously the man who came off the bench last season. They played Derry in a league game down in Athletic Grounds, and he just took off like a rocket. You know, and I just thought to myself, here's a man that's really on it. And it's probably the fact that Aidan Forker's not making the team. It's probably a case of Aidan's maybe he would slow up the game that much the way he plays, whereas they're maybe going for something more dynamic. So that's a big call to have somebody of Aidan Forker's experience to be on the wings now, looking in. But it says an awful lot about them. And probably, Brendan, this is an awful lot about Geezer. The fact he was able to keep all his panellists on board for 3 years, like Callum O'Neill, and he's now a mainstay. I think that says a lot for the setup, because nobody left.
Yeah, the points of Callum O'Neill, I mean, what a season he's had, Bryn. That's a man that I'd only seen brief substitute appearances before. You know, he's playing and he's scoring regular as well. He looks completely at home there. And when you think of the pressure then, obviously Creeley coming back on the last day, Grimley to come in. You know, you think about the potential that's in that Armagh squad. You know, it is formidable, Bryn. And you'd have to say, without Rian O'Neill, which you think put him in the mix, you'd have to say advantage Armagh if Rian O'Neill was available, but he's not. But even that side, this there, Brendan, is certainly not. Before we get to ourselves, I think we're stronger as well, but Armagh certainly are stronger.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, Brendan. They've so much strength. And like the last day in the semi-final, I think only six of the team that started in the All-Ireland started in the semi-final. So that just shows you that you're able to change a team up that much, and you're still bringing in the likes of Supi Campbell, you're bringing in Conor Turbidge, you're bringing in Jarley Ogue, you're bringing in this calibre of player down the final stretch. And like Supi only came on with 7-8 minutes ago. I was thinking, why are they waiting so long to bring him in here? Because if the game was in the mix, and you still saw the influence that he had in that 7 or 8 minutes period. But I think the big thing, Aaron referenced it there, the big thing, Armagh have a huge obsession with winning this Ulster title. Yes, they went on and won in All-Ireland. I think last year's Ulster final hurt them, and I still think that hurt is still there with them, and I think they're going to bring a fierce force of determination and everything that they've got on Saturday to get that Ulster title. And I suppose it's in Donegal hands to see, can they match that and better that, Brendan?
Yeah, and as a neutral, Matt, does this hunger thing, does it count, or is the game so coached today, people go out and deliver a level performance, or what do you think about that hunger thing, or the crowd? Are they still playing a massive part, or is that getting lessened the way teams are coached and how, you know, rhythmic the game is? It's quite set around possession. It's not as much the blood and guts.
It probably is, but not as much this year. Like last year's Ulster final for me came down to one moment. Greg McCabe was replaced, and I think it was Jamar Hall left where Oran Doherty was to fill the middle, and Oran Doherty kicked a spinner to take it to penalties, and the crowd was absolutely kicking every ball at that stage. Like, the energy he probably got, he could nearly see the grass he was running into. He was nearly as if he was inspired by the crowd. And then if you look yesterday to the Connacht final, like, it was brilliant to watch, and that was even in TV. So like, Clonus on Saturday, like, I'm just a jealous dairy man going to watch it thinking this is going to be some occasion. And Brenton, it's a disgrace that the draws for the All-Ireland series was made before the provincials. Yeah. There's only one person in Donegal that suits, Kieran Espey, the guy who does all the organising for hotels and buses. That's the only thing that suits. Doesn't suit anybody else.
What about when we get into these different stages of the season? There's often only a week between turnarounds. Can we not just get the turnaround done anyway? You know, it's not that.
I just think we were at a press day last week, and Conor Gilligan said something along the lines of, the draw has been made, it probably takes 1% off your focus. Like, last year's Ulster final was won in the fact that Jamar Hall didn't go to Oran Doherty, he went onside. Yeah. And Armagh won the title. Like, 1%. Like, Dietz didn't say this, but when he talks about 1%, he's talking about a game like Saturday. And it's just ludicrous that draw was made. There has to be something done about that.
Yeah.
It's as bad as the debate around the league final versus the first round of the championship.
Yeah.
Simply not good enough.
Yeah, I hear you. Bryn, Donegal, you know, let's just start with Michael Murphy. You know, we looked the last year, we didn't look like we had enough impact off the bench, and I'm not saying he's going to be on the bench, because it doesn't look like he is, and that's another discussion. But, you know, you look at how we're better, Finbar Rorty, what a season he's having. You know, Patton is unbelievable. McGee's back now, and even though he's been a bit rusty, he'll be fresh now as we get in to the more crunch side of things. So there's been much impressive about Donegal here in terms of the squad opening out that bit more and different players filling out different positions. If we get Owen Bann back in as well, you know, McFadden Ferry's back in, you know, Jimmy Brennan's been great off the bench. So there's loads of plus points. You'd say Donegal are better this year than they were last year.
Well, that just has to be proven, Brendan. I think that's the acid test comes on Saturday to see whether they are better and can they up their performance enough to take Armagh. Certainly, I think Keelan McGonigal at six has been a loss to them. I think he's been a loss at centre half back. I also, you know, I was looking through the programme the last day when we were playing down, and Orr McFadden Ferry was the only real defensive substitute that they had on the bench. Yes, there were other guys that could play defence, but only real man marker. So getting a couple of the players that are currently out injured, the Mark Kern, Keelan McGonigal, and there's a third one, Owen Bann. Like, where they are at, we don't really know. But listen, Donegal, there's no doubt there's plenty of talent there through the squad. Some of them are playing at a really optimum high level. Kieran Moore has been very good so far, so he has. Padraig Morgan just consistently delivers these top-class performances. So they have some, as you mentioned, Finbar Rorty. Then you have the steadiness of the likes of Ryan McHugh, Brendan McCall doing the man-marking jobs. So there's no doubt that they have loads of that, but that's all going to be tested by Armagh the next day. And listen, games between them have been the toss of a coin for the last number of times they've met, and I feel it's going to be the same, and it's just going to be one play towards the end of the game that's going to decide whether the Anglo-Celt Cup come back to Donegal or whether Armagh take it. It's that tight and it's that hard to call, Brendan.
Down to penalties again. But lads, we're just down the last couple of minutes of this. You know, Mal, just looking at, say, the next Derry game, the form of McBurtie, O'Boyle, you know, and especially in Monaghan, it was more Langan, Shane O'Donnell, Mogan. The last day, McBurtie was to the top of his game. You know, Patton threw out it. you know, some of the performance, Finbar Roarty last day in terms of, you know, breaking forward. Jimmy Brennan coming off the bench. Is there different games now where someone from Donegal just seems to step up and take the mantle and just shines up to about an 8, 8.5? And is that the difference with the top teams, that even if you've had players on a slightly quieter match?
Well, I think the down game sums that up, because Donegal never looked like losing. Like, Sean, to be fair, made a brilliant save, but he never felt Donegal were going to lose. Yeah. Yet, when they look through the programme after the game, you're thinking nobody really stood out. This weekend comes down to a couple of things. Can they man mark Dara Boyle? 9 2-pointers. Can they find a way of decommissioning the weapon that's Sean Patton? And so that's that side of it. From Donegal's point of view, and I'm looking down here, Eamon knows him very, very well, Jim. Like, Armagh had only lost, I think, 1 or 2 kickouts against Tyrone. I just wonder, is it going to be a day for the big five across the middle? Langan, McGee, Thompson, you know, Murphy, McFadden, with maybe Kieran McGonigal as the what do you call it, the bodyguard at the back. Are they going to go from the J.R. Arthur stand across to the Pat McGrain and basically say to Ethan Rafferty, the green grass that Tyrone gave you, nah, not today.
The press was poor.
If that happens, if those five men are across the middle and Armagh can't get that percentage up, what do they do? Because that's where it's at for me. I did think Donegal would win Ulster before a ball was kicked. The way Armagh controlled long periods of the Tyrone game made me think, I don't know, but if they can do something with that statistic of Ethan Rafferty's, there's no reason why they can't retain it, but keep the Holy Communion money in your pocket. It's going to be really, really tight.
Yeah. But Brendan, listen, I'll just on this side, I'll give the last word to you then. The Rafferty influence and the Patton influence, they're very different in many ways. Both are kickouts. Rafferty's kickout has come on tremendous. The Tyrone press was a bit poor the last day, Brendan, but Rafferty's influence coming forward, depending on how we set up, is a conundrum which Donegal hasn't had to face yet.
I think any team facing Donegal would have the fear of taking their keeper out too deep, because the pace that Donegal can break with is fearsome and frightening, and I don't think you're going to see Rafferty come as much. You may see him coming later into the action, as opposed to being a part of their structured offensive play as such.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, give a round of applause here for Brendan Kilcoyne and Michael McMullen, all the way from Mahara. Folks, we have 2 jerseys here to give away. One is sponsored by Sister Sarah's here. 2 Donegal jerseys, I might say, just in case you're thinking of something else. 2 Donegal jerseys, and we have 1 sponsored by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure as well. We're going to give them away at the end of the show. Everybody's in for the draw. No charge, unless you want to give me something, Maria. So everybody's going to have a chance to win these 2 jerseys. Well, after this break, we're going to talk with one of our All-Ireland heroes, Eamon McGee, and the one and only John Gilday.
Unlimited 5G data and calls. Text.
That's the Clear Mobile Parrot. He knows a good thing when he hears it.
$12.99.
He likes to keep it clear.
$12.99.
That's why he's our top salesperson. Parrot. Clear Mobile. Keep it clear. Powered by Vodafone.
$12.99.
Activation fee €12.99. 19 gigabytes UK and EU roaming data. For terms, see clearmobile.ie/terms.
We love better value at Dunn Stores. Mix and match 3 for €5 on tasty treats and soft drinks, like 7-Up Zero 2-litre and Tato Snacks 6-pack. And stock up on soft drink 12-can packs, like Coke Zero and 7-Up Zero, just €7. Plus, save at the till with a 5-off-25 grocery voucher. Dunn Stores. Always better value. Terms and conditions apply. Voucher can be used on next in-store grocery shop of €25 or more. Prices subject to deposit return scheme fees.
Highland Radio Time Checks, brought to you by Airgrid, the operator and developer of Ireland's electricity grid. Airgrid, powering up communities, powering up Ireland. The time is...
Yes, folks, welcome back to Sister Sarah's. Can I get a wee whoop whoop? Yeah, very good. All them Deveny ladies making noise up there. Folks, 2 great men beside me here. How you doing, Kieran Boy? 2 great men beside me here, John Gilday and Eamon McGee. Eamon, first of all, Buncrana, you're down coaching. Keelan McGonigal, is he good to go or not?
I have no idea.
Nobody ever has.
Nobody knows. All I know is they carried a wee knock, and that's...
A wee knock. That's a great Donegal injury, that, a wee knock.
A wee knock, and there's no length of time or there's no extent of the injury now, but hopefully is, because we've seen how important he is.
And where do you play him for Buncrana? I mean, do you use him midfielder?
He got injured last year, so I haven't had the pleasure of working or seeing him on field for me yet now. Yeah. So hopefully, fingers crossed, he stays injury free.
It's been some revolution in his own game. You know, he was wing half forward for years here, big lad. You know, when fellas are that size, sometimes it takes them a while to get their game. But he certainly, in terms of switching the midfield, now he's been a revelation at six.
Oh, he's been brilliant now. Like it's been so much alluded to how important he is to the defence in terms of that low press that Jim has, and it just shows you he wouldn't have sprung me as a centre back in terms of holding that. It just shows you that that's where McGuinness is a step ahead, yeah, probably of the rest of us mere mortals here.
Yeah, yeah.
And
he was the same with me with Kieran Moore. We'd be playing him wing half forward. Next thing I seen him in full back, and I said to him, "How did you ever think about it?" He says, "I just noticed the training. He was good at assessing danger, and you know, going into the right space." And as you said, you know, that's one of those things people have a good eye for.
And we all love to be trying to be the next Jim McGuinness, but that's why he is. Is he sees something that, you know, an awful lot of us wouldn't see.
Yeah.
And it's not just about the intensity he brings and is able to analyse opposition or what he brings to training. The ability to spot that is a gift in itself. Yeah.
And John, you were good at sitting in that space, mopping things up and that. That was something that was... You would have been a good six now, I think.
I suppose I was just lazy as well. So it suited me fine. I suppose only around that stage, I suppose
that's a
long, long time ago... Really, tactics, like, I'd only started coming into the game, and the way the game has developed right now, it's a pivotal position. And what I like about him is he does read the game very well, but he also breaks the line very well. When he breaks into that big long stride, he covers a lot of ground, so he's important for that transitional game that Donegal plays so well. And I think over the last couple of weeks, he's been very, very badly missed. Not only from just blocking up the centre with a big body and being intelligent, but also breaking out quickly from defence and allowing Morgan and McHugh and these boys to break off him. So he'd be a big addition if we have him on Sunday. And obviously, if we're going to play our man, we need everybody going full tilt. And he's a big part of that.
Yeah, definitely. Eamon, is there any way of being definitive about this game from either side? I mean, it just doesn't look...
In terms of looking for a result?
Well, looking for a winner. Like, can you make a case to say, you know, it just seems like this is going to come down. I mean, there'll be absolutely no surprise if it goes the same way as last year.
And I think that's the way it will go. There's been so little between the two teams. I don't see any reason why it's going to change. Maybe, you know, some man might just spring to life with two pointers and they'll open up a gap or something like that there. But in terms of where the two teams are at and how they know each other as well, maybe that's something new. Armagh will show something new, Donegal could show something new at McGinney and the boys, but as I say, there's no reason to believe that it's going to be anything other but a tight game again.
Yeah, maybe McGinney will kick a few flags or something, John, if we're under pressure. Like, could something really, like, we talked about the rules and kind of in the league it was okay, this happened, that happened. I mean, you think of Tyrone and Galway, for example, they sent on the black carded defender and then they got caught for not having the three up, and he conceded a point against Galway, which would ultimately kept them up. But, John, we're in the crunch time here. It's serious stuff. I mean, I talked about Finn Barroti in that under-20 Ulster final. I mean, this game, to me, was decided on something very unfair. Like, it'd be a bit of a shame, John, if something like that was the reason, like a 50-metre penalty for something a bit innocuous, right?
No, it's a fair point. But ultimately, if you look at football over the last 50, 70 years, there's always been contentious decisions no matter what the rules are. And now we're just focusing on the rules as they are right now and what's contentious within the new format. What I would say is, without looking at the rules too carefully and going, this is wrong and that's wrong, and, you know, Brendan said earlier, there is changes that have to be made, and obviously everybody knows that in certain aspects of it. But if you sat back and asked yourself, is the calibre of football played right now over the last 12 months better than it was 4 or 5 years ago, I think the universal answer would be, from a spectator point of view, it is. It's more entertaining. Is it perfect? By no ways is it perfect. But when you go to a game and you have teams kicking 23, 24 scores, and the game's more open because you only can put, you know, 12 men behind the ball to a certain extent, that leads to a better spectator sport, and that's ultimately what this is about. I would suggest the players are probably enjoying it more because they're allowed to play. Now, it suits a certain type of player. It suits the Kieran Moores, it suits the Mogans because they're very athletic. It won't suit everybody. But from a spectator point of view, it's much more enjoyable to go and watch a game right now because there is a lottery element. Even, you know, you looked at the game yesterday and Mayo managed to do what Mayo do in that they lost a game that they probably should have won, and they've been doing that for 20 years, which is unfortunate for them. But there were 8 points in it. But no, at halftime, 4 years ago, 8 points, 15 men behind the ball, people could go home at halftime, you'd be on your Instagram or whatever because the game is over. But nobody in that ground yesterday, when Galway were 8 points up with a win behind them, thought this game is over. A couple of two-pointers, goal, the game's back on again. And because of that, there's life, people are engaged in the game, and therefore, as a whole, the rules have improved the game of Gaelic right now.
Definitely, totally agree. We have another quick clip from Aaron Kiernan. I wanted three reasons why Armagh will beat Donegal on Sunday, so you're going to have to hear it from the man himself.
I suppose the big one is Ethan and their variety and options to kick out. I think if we go right back to, particularly, I can't remember which year it was, but it was yourselves in Ballybofey, Armagh red hot favourites, first round of championships, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, and got completely obliterated on Ethan's kickouts. Now, whether that was just because Ethan was only new to goals and it was more he was a fly keeper and his kickouts weren't up to scratch of inter-county level, and then the movement and the options weren't there on the outside, and the physicality Donegal had around the field just completely bossed us and the game was put to bed. I think Armagh have a brilliant variety to their kickouts, which means they have the potential to get the ball in their hands more often than we usually would have had against Donegal. And whether that is going fast and direct and getting scores off within 20-25 seconds to showing they're good at that. But again, whether it's the confidence from winning last year, and they particularly showed it again last weekend, is that composure to retain possession, not to panic, not to get flustered by a Donegal swarm defence, or not carried into traffic and get turned over and get hit on the counter. I think that there's a huge difference in the Armagh game from what they would have had in years gone by. A big one really is going to be their man-to-man matchups. So to remember, Paddy Burns, he did pick up Oisin Gallan last year and found it very difficult. We now have the added issues of who is going to go on Michael and Paddy McBrearty, in the assumption that Jimmy's going to go with all three. So our key defensive matchups are going to be important, but I think it's sort of irrelevant in terms of, you see how good Armagh were swarming around Dara Canavan last week and Rory Canavan, but not being able to nail down Den McCurry. To me, that's a good thing to happen you then, because you're now coming up against three different type of players, but three unbelievable quality in Paddy, Michael and Oisin Gallan. And it's a good wake-up call for those boys. They did well, but huge areas to improve and build on. And I think the fact that it happened them so recent, that's stuff that'll be pointed out and really, really honed in and worked on this week. And then the big one is Freddie up front in terms of how to get scores. The amount of scores that they're getting from all across the field, whether that's coming right from your cornerbacks and Tomás McCormick to the inside lane. I think the fact that they've been racking up the scores that they have and had the variety of scores that they have is testament to the squad that's there. And I think you throw all of that there in, knowing that you have the loss of not only the quality of Rian O'Neill, but the presence and the reassurance that you get from that. Again, I just think it's been an unbelievable aspect of the team, and one that I wasn't sure that, even though they were all Ireland champions, that they would be capable to overcome that hurdle. But it just goes to show you the strength that they have there. So that's a lot of stuff that has to go right.
That's what we're after. No better man to deliver it.
It's a huge amount of Haskell rating, and of course.
Yep, great to hear from Aaron Kiernan there. He's making a case for Armagh, man. Eamon, we spoke about Rafferty and the danger in there. You know, no panic, the monkey's off the back for these guys, you know, compared with maybe what was hanging over them last year. You know, the spread of scores, the extra players that we talked about in panel one. So Armagh are a very different team this year coming into this match.
They are a different team. they have that monkey off their back in terms of you have them doubts going down the straight in the last 10 minutes. Like, this is going to happen. It happened to them in the Ulster final last year. Armagh had that game won, and they blew. Much like Mayo have never got that monkey off their back, and once they do, you know, it's gone. And Armagh have it, so they're able to wee bit more relaxed, and they've done it. They've won their medal, and they want to back the Ulster, back it up with an Ulster championship. But just to come in, some Naren says, like, I think we have to go after Rafferty. I think that, because Aaron referenced it there in Balvafay 3-4 years ago, that they went to town on him. Like, he had a really bad day, and I think something like that, when Rafferty takes the Donegal, he's got to be reminded of that. You know, you've got to get that press up. Malachy mentioned it too, in terms of getting that zonal press, big men at the back, shut down the short, and just say to them, let's try and work it out here. And hopefully I'm right here, but I don't believe that if we go after it right, I think that's a big place that we can.
I can feel the old Eamon McGee coming out. He needs to be reminded of that. That would be a couple of wee words in the ear from you, Eamon, no doubt.
Maybe Neil will just get a few words on them.
Listen, all needed. John, just on that full back line, I mean, McCurry did serious damage last game out, right? You know, Michael Holm, come on, I don't know why he wasn't on half time. Petey Hart, come on, there's space in that Armagh defence. You know, as much as McCambridge is in there now, if we have Gallen, who's coming back to form, another couple of weeks under the belt, Murphy and McBerty, you know, there's still holes to be got in that Armagh defence.
Well, it's the same for both sides. Just with the way the game is structured right now, there is holes in the pockets. It's very hard to press out on the two-point arc to stop people hitting two-pointers without leaving, you know, 20 metres of space in behind you, particularly if men are hugging the end line to come into it. And that applies to Donegal and Armagh and everybody else for that matter, because, you know, unlike last year where people played a lot of men behind the ball and you can fill those spaces, and that's something Donegal can get at, but it's also something Armagh can get at on the other side of the equation. And, like, I love Aaron's confidence, and I think it's great because it obviously radiates through the county because he's reflecting on what's happening on the ground, and that's good. On the flip side of that, from a Donegal point of view, people are not overly boisterous about their chances. Like, it's all very subdued. If you look at the way that Donegal have come into this, we've been playing 10-15 minutes here, 10-15 minutes there, struggling through games, getting out the back door, which is the ideal way to go into an Ulster final. And you can imagine McGuinness has something up his sleeve. Like, he's not going, you know, into it, you know, Armagh playing pockets and running around the place. And you're right, go after Rafferty, because I agree with Eamon as well. Rafferty's not as good a kicker of the ball as Patton. Now, Patton's exceptional, and it's very unfair to compare anybody to him. But if you put their kick out under pressure and don't give them easy ball there, then that affects the rest of his game as well when he's wandering out the park and looking to get onto cheap ball and kick points. So the fact that they're very confident is great from a Donegal point of view. There's nothing between these two sides. They've proven that down through the years. The big advantage that Armagh have this year is they've done it. There's nothing like, and Eamon will say, you know, Eamon will tell you this, I haven't the luxury of telling you this, but there's nothing like the swagger of having an All-Ireland medal in your pocket, knowing that you've done it at the very top level, and that's the big advantage they have this year because they've gone and done it, and that will make them a very dangerous animal.
You can see it the way Armagh are going about their business, because they believe, I don't buy into the argument, but they believe that they've been disrespected in terms of they're not getting enough credit for that All-Ireland win. They went and they won it, and they deserve all the respect that they should get, but there's a certain element out there that are saying, you know, that's not a, I don't know how they were, but it's not a proper, there's an argument out there saying it was an easy All-Ireland.
Yes,
it's
yes.
Never an easy All-Ireland. May all tell you that.
They'll tell you so many times. Sorry, Alan Kelly, if he's listening in. Eamon, I have a question for you. Michael Murphy, his impact in Armagh when he came on, his impact against Derry, there's going to be nothing in this game at half-time, right? There might be nothing in at full-time. Is there an argument to be made that Michael Murphy's energy and his effect on the game is massive coming in? Should we hold him back? Or what's your thoughts on where to play him?
Personally, I start Michael, and I'd say we just go at it from there and maybe look to get a Gallen or someone else. But you, in terms of Armagh do it with Supi Campbell, they look to, you know, instead of maintaining the graph, they look to put the graph right up, keep it going. And we'll definitely need some kind of lift coming off the bench. So, you know, I think we'll need Murphy in and around just to keep them honest. Paddy's going well. and maybe leave Oisin and take him in. And you know, Oisin's obviously left a few scars from last year because he was on fire so much, and that could lift the whole crowd. But I get your argument, and it's probably
that's a big call. Keep going back. It's a big call.
I think you know you have to keep, so you have to look, yeah. Because if something goes wrong, you need to get some kind of spring. Like, it's an old cliche, you know, it's a 20-man game. It literally is a 20-man game. Armagh proved that last year, that you need to, you know, go back to the graph thing. It's not about maintaining the graph. You need to just come on and lift her, like, and Donegal will need that spring, yeah, from the bench, yeah, at some...
Do you concur with that? If you had Gal and Jamie Brennan coming on to the match, 20 to go... I mean, these two guys are hot to handle. Or what would you do in Michael's terms?
I suppose, you know, Michael started the last couple of games. I think there'll be a big focus on Michael after the last couple of games, purely because some people would have felt that Michael was lucky to, you know, he walked a very, very fine line when it came to possibly getting the black card last year out. And you can be sure that Armagh are going to get into his face. Like, they're notoriously physically in general. So Michael needs, whether he starts or comes on, needs to, you know, to keep the head. It's a hard one to call. We do need impact off the bench. I know there's a lot of talk about the depth of the Donegal squad and how strong it is and everything else. That'll be tested on Sunday, or on Saturday, sorry, because we will need impact from every individual man that comes off the bench. It won't be good enough, as Eamon said, just to hold the status quo. We need to lift the lid. Armagh will do that. They've notoriously done that down through the years. I think Michael starts.
Yeah.
I think Gallen starts, because Oisin is probably struggling with form a little bit this year. I know he was injured early in the year, and he hasn't got a consistent run, and he's a form and field player. And you know yourself, coming in and out of games, it's hard to get a feel for it. And that, and he's used to being, like, he's our all-star. Mm. Him and Morgan, like, he's expected to play. We need a big game from him. But we still need impact off the bench. So it's, you walk that line, I'm sure Jim and Neil and Colm are racking their heads about how to do this right.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you know, Aaron's talking it up, Donegal probably talking it down a little bit. It's an Ulster final. Anything can happen. Referee indecision, all the usual cliches that are out there for a reason. Clonus will be hot and heavy at 5:30 on a Saturday evening, and everybody will have to look down the barrel of the gun and go, okay, where are we at and what are we going to do?
Yeah.
You know, you talked about Murphy there, that I think they'll go after Murphy 100%, and I hope that the referee is wise, because you watch when Murphy does a foul, they're going to be right around the referee, you know, what, yeah, this, throwing, yeah, the hands, yeah, up in the air. And
everybody's trying to get Murphy sent off, yeah, yeah. 100%. Ladies and gentlemen, John Gildea, Eamon McGee, thank you so much. Maureen O'Donnell, come on up here for a wee chat. Give it up. What is the crack? Mo, listen, there's two games on here Saturday. How big is it for our ladies to be part of this Ulster final and to have, you know, that level of crowd and exposure on Saturday in Clonus?
It's fantastic, Brendan. Look, it's a huge occasion for the county, for the ladies, for the men, and it's an Ulster final, and I suppose it is a special day for the ladies because, you know, Clonus will be packed on Sunday, and it's the kind of exposure that the ladies have been looking for so long. Given Donegal's track record with the ladies in the last number of years, it probably would have been a brilliant time to have it last year, but we do look, we're, yeah, faced with it now this year, we're going to go out and see what we can do.
Yeah, so we were champions from 23 and then 24, we weren't maybe expected, you know, John McDulty was in charge and said we went the extra time and we lost an added time in that move. So what about this year in Division 2, you know, we competed in a lot of games, found it tough, it was Cork and Galway in particular, and that there was so was the team coming on. I know James came in and he's done really well. He's a great coach. You know, Armagh are probably a few steps ahead, but listen, it's a final. It's one of those on the day. Can Donegal pull out a performance?
Yeah, it is a final. You know, and I think we have to, you know, be alluded to that fact that anything can go in a final, as you say, and we're there, and there are two teams there. Unfortunately, there are only two senior teams in the Ulster Championship, which are Armagh and Donegal. And look, Donegal were probably rut off last year. There was 2 minutes to go, and it was 12-8. And, you know, Katie got a bagged a lovely goal and Suzanne White put over a point, and we as a commentary team had to rip them off at that stage. And like, it's probably something you shouldn't do to a Donegal team, because they come back and they went into extra time and just unfortunately they just didn't get it over the line. But there's great rivalry between Armagh and Donegal, and look, Donegal are playing Division 2, Brendan. That's the reality. And, you know, they've managed to come third in the table this year. They didn't have a lot of success one-wise, but they had a few draws under their belt. And, look, they're going through a huge transition of girls at the moment, which is great to see, because there's a lot of lovely underage players coming up through the ranks. We've lost a huge amount of experience. And then that's what Armagh actually have. Armagh have managed in the last number of years to hold on to that experience. When you look at Caroline O'Hanlon, Clodagh McCambridge, Lauren McConville, the two Mackin sisters, and like, look, Amy Mackin has suffered an ACL in last year's Ulster final. She hasn't been on the field this year. Donegal will be hoping on Sunday she doesn't come on the field, because she's an absolute fantastic player. You know, she's really lovely to watch, and you know, it'll only add to Armagh's probably success on Sunday. But as I say, Donegal probably lacked that little bit of experience. And look, the crowd can play a huge part of any final as well, as you well know. So look, we'll hope the ladies will give it a crack on Sunday, Brendan, because it is a lovely experience for them.
So it is going to be a fantastic experience, right? And as you said, sometimes when you're growing, you got to learn no matter what. It's a great place to do it. Just from last year, that draw with Armagh, obviously the draw with Kerry in the championship group stage as well, you know, like, they're two teams like are tipped for the highest honours. Is that team still, is there a massive changeover even from last year's team into this year's team?
There is, yeah. We still lost a number of players from last year as well. Lost our captain, Eve McLaughlin. Katie Hearn isn't playing this year. And, you know, look, that's the transition that teams go through. Donegal were very successful for a number of years, you know, with Ulster titles, and have competed with Armagh in Ulster titles, and have won five Ulster titles. Donegal have at senior level. Armagh have seven, but if Donegal had to play during COVID, it'd probably be six apiece, you know what I mean, Brendan? So, look, there's a lot of things that tip the scales one way or the other, but we got to go now. They're under new management. Armagh's under new management as well this year, and they seem to be performing very, very well. Like the historic Division 1 final last year against Kerry, they went out at the beginning of the league this year. They played Kerry down in Kerry and beat them. And, you know, they were in the Division 1 final again this year. Kerry obviously hurt from the last Division 1 final. Didn't manage it. Look, they overcame Armagh on the day. And Armagh are going into this Ulster final this year, and they want to win, Brendan, you know. But and Donegal, new management under as McNulty was there now. James is on there now. And look, he's doing phenomenal work with him. He's working with what he has. He's got a very young, as I said, inexperienced team. But look, they played Division 2 this year. As I say, they'll have gained a lot of experience from that. And yes, it'll be a massive experience for those players going out now in the Ulster final. With the crowd that we expect in Clonus, and with the match that's going to precede it after that, like the Donegal men, it's a lovely occasion for the women to be able to go out. And that's what we're moving towards, an integration. So, you know, we hope to see a hell of a lot more of it, where the women can take the field before the men, because that's great exposure for the women's game.
Promoting all the wee girls are going to be watching. You and Oisin are going to bring us all the action.
We are, right. We hope to do. And
you'll be away early, knowing our Oisin.
Yeah, Oisin likes to be there and be there in time. But
Clonus might even be open by the time Oisin's up, you know, something to get on the road. What about yourself and Maria there, coaching Donegal sometime? Is that a possibility?
I don't know. I think we need to try and make sure we get more than 24 hours in a day, because 24 hours isn't enough for myself and Maria at the minute. I don't know how we get the time to do all we have. I have to do.
A lot of experience, so you can talk. Well, she was in with internationals. There you go.
Yes, she's going to do the Masters later on this year.
How come you didn't get the shout for that one?
I don't have the time.
She's trying to get away to Australia. That's what she's trying to do in particular. Folks, we're just down to the last minute of the show on that. So, Mo, going into this game then, the learnings that the lady will take from this, the crowd pushing them behind, could something swing her way, or is that experience in Armagh, that's their eighth final that they're in now, is this experience going to count on the day, that bit of know-how, you know, if the game does come under the crunch second half?
Yeah, experience is experience is huge, and as I said to you before, Armagh are going into the final, I suppose, and they have that advantage of the experience on the day, whereas we probably don't have enough of it, really. A lot of our girls will be going out in their first Ulster final, and, you know, it's all well and good, Brendan, when you're going out in an Ulster final where you don't have the crowd that we're going to be expecting in Clonus on Saturday. So, you know, the nair set in and things like that, whereas the nerves probably won't be there for Armagh because they've had the experience of big finals before as well. But as you say, look, it's a final and it can go anyway. Finals can go anyway, and we're just hoping that, you know, the Donegal ladies can hold it out. Yep. You never know.
Perfect. Well, thanks very much, Myron O'Donnell there. Mark Gallagher, thank you much. Everybody, thank you for listening to my guest here this evening. All roads lead to Clonus.